Welcome to Sox Talk on the Air, right here on SoxTalk.com. I am Mario Scalise. I am talking very slow today. What is up, Jason? He is in California.
Hey, it's good to hear this voice. You guys don't have to listen to another show just by myself, as Mario the Slacker is back. And you cannot make fun of my weather out here in California because it's freaking hot.
How did this show go? I completely forgot to take a listen to it, so I can't really comment on it. But how do you feel it went?
I thought it was awful, but I think most of the shows are awful. So usually hearing myself talk is not one of my favorite things to do. But I listen and I get enjoyed. I actually prefer the music breaks of the shows. But I was like too lazy to cut the music, so I'm sure people listened to the show and were wondering when I was gonna cut back in talking, but I just played the full song.
Alright, well let's put in an extra effort today because the Sox are playing poor and the Tigers are coming into town, so it's a big show, it's a big week for the Sox, okay?
This is the pep rally. It's time to pump the Sox up because we will pump you up.
But and we both agree with this. The Sox have been playing bad lately, but really
they suck. They stink.
They've been playing pretty poor all season long.
Yeah, we've been saying it. They win games, yet they just don't click. And now they're not clicking. They're just playing flat pathetic for the most part.
I think it's part that. I think another part is that I think when you play bad and you pull out wins, I think eventually that poor play is going to catch up to you. And I think a part of their losing has just been that it's been catching up to them. I think a lot of their wins this year have been coming on purely talent. Talent alone. And that's kind of a good thing because you figure if they could figure it out, then they'll be good to go. But if they don't, they're gonna keep playing like this.
If they don't, they'll be an underachieving team kind of like the Yankees have, and when all the Yankee fans get mad at them, where the talent gets them just so far. Because you got to have that mental yes. toughness, that mental edge. The White Sox haven't had it all season, but Ozzie Guillen is the type of manager that he knew even when we were winning games, this team wasn't playing good. And he was always commenting. He was always hammering on the players. And he was always trying to get them to do more. So far, it's not worked. But the talent is there. And this team explodes from time to time. But as of late, they've played pretty pathetic. They've lost 7 of 10. They're still 2.5 games back because the Tigers had struggled. But it's going to be a key week. We're playing divisional foes. We struggled against the Indians last week in a 4-game set. We struggled against the Rangers, and now it's time to end these struggles. It's time to get back to playing winning baseball, and it's just one step at a time here.
Yeah, we talked about a couple weeks ago. This month of June is going to be a tough, tough month, and it could very well decide the division. I think this week is going to be a very key part in deciding this, you know, the division long term, and we're going to talk about that later. But going back, this is a talented team, but they're not a very good team right now, and to all the talent in the world, and you said it, as the Yankees have shown, talent doesn't mean anything. You have to be able to go out there and play as a team and put it together on the field, and they just haven't been able to do that. And I know offensively the numbers have looked good, but the offense still, I haven't really been too impressed with them offensively. That's kind of where we want to start off with, and it doesn't really just go with the back of the order. It doesn't really just start off with Uribe and Anderson, who have been struggling. I just think overall this lineup, it just doesn't seem to have that same type of approach as last year. I think I was watching the game yesterday, and I saw a stat where I think three of the top five players in the American League as far as swinging at first pitch were Sox players.
Doesn't shock me.
It doesn't.
I'm guessing AJ is one of them.
And I think last year, even though last year's team wasn't a team that took a lot of walks, one thing that they did do in key situations is they had some long at-bats. They were able to at least go out there and fight off a pitcher for a while and keep themselves into the games. That doesn't seem like that's happening this year, along with a lot of other things, you know, the rotation and the bullpen, and we're going to get into that later on. But offensively, I have an idea when it comes to the lineup, and I want to bring it up in a little bit. But first, I want to get into the defense. Brian Anderson, he's starting to play a little bit more. I think I don't know if they're maybe going to be putting him out there and saying, listen, you either do it or you don't, and if you don't, you know, show anything in the next few weeks, you're going to be gone. But he is out there in center field and more. But Kovacic's not out there. Overall, this team just doesn't seem like they're the same team as last year.
The problem with the defense, up the middle. We've had inconsistency in center field, and it's not acceptable. I've said it, and I've said it again, and I've said it repeatedly. Ozzie needs to stick with Brian Anderson, or he needs to send him to AAA, because Brian Anderson is our only option. We're not going to lose games with our nine-hole hitter. We will lose games because we have inconsistent guys out there in center field, and you've seen confusion with left fielders coming over because they're dealing with two different center fielders. You've seen confusion with Jermaine Dye a couple weeks ago when he was going to make a ball, and Mikoviak was in center, and they kind of collided, and Dye dropped the ball. It needs to have a consistent up the middle defense. Brian Anderson needs to be playing every day, or he needs to be on the bench, not on the bench, or he needs to be in AAA working his mental edge and getting a better approach at the plate. It's the only option, and I'm sick of it. And Ozzie, another thing, I'm getting on a rant here again, and it's two things that really piss me off. The way he's handled Brian Anderson, the way he's handled Brandon McCarthy. Brandon McCarthy needs to be thrown out there a lot. He needs to get in a rhythm. How do you expect a guy that's never been a reliever to have any type of success when he's not throwing innings is unacceptable. The guy has made his career throwing innings down in the minor leagues as a starter. And now you bring him up here and he sits for 7, 8 days at a time. Then he goes in for a game and he gets hit. Obviously he's going to get hit. He's never even had a chance to get a feel. It goes all the way back to spring training when he was struggling. He came here expecting to pitch. If he's not going to pitch, get him in AAA. Get him accustomed. Give him a month there to get his edge, to find his stuff. And then bring him up here and Ozzie better damn well use him. Because Cliff Polite is not going to do it. And I realize I'm skipping ahead a second here, but I'm really mad at the way Ozzie's done this. He's been very inconsistent with the way he's handled some guys, and I think it's had a negative impact on the team. And specifically, when we talk about our defense, I think the way he's handled Brian Anderson was poor. I got into that. The way he's handled this bullpen, but the lack of use for Brandon McCarthy, and I realize Brandon McCarthy hasn't pitched good. He's given up 4 homers. He's given up, you know, he's got an ERA over 5, but from time to time, he's pitched very good. And the only way we're going to get him to pitch very good most of the time is by using him consistently, or letting him go down to the minors where he's going to get consistent action. And then we're using Cliff Polite way too much, and it's obvious Cliff Polite doesn't have it. He's hanging pitches left and right. He doesn't want to pitch inside. It's just futile. And we still throw him out there. He's giving up home runs. And he's hanging the best pitch to hit. A hanging slider is just an ultimate pitch because it's quick enough that even if you're going for a fastball, you're still going to clobber it. And when you're not throwing the ball inside at all, that hanging slider is right over there in the middle of the plate. Good luck. And that's why his ERA is over 7, and as of late, he's been even worse.
You know, we
you hear that silence? Mario is stunned.
No, we could just wrap the show up, because you covered every single topic we were planning on talking about. You're talking about Anderson and McCarthy. I want to go back to Anderson, I'm going to talk about McCarthy, and Pleat, I want to save for later on. I'm going to get back into Anderson. I agree with you. I agree with you that he has to play in center field. I don't agree with you in having him go to the minor leagues. I do not think that Brian Anderson should go to the minor leagues. I do not think that he will learn anything in the minor leagues. I think right now he has a AAA swing. And I don't think if he goes to AAA, he's going to learn how to get a major league swing going. This is something where he has to be up here. He has to be playing. Now, I think he should be in center field every day. I'm not going to go out there and knock Mikoviak. I think Mikoviak really was put into a tough situation because he's not a natural center fielder. I think he's very, very decent, and I say that probably in a very nice, probably I'm being kind when I say that, okay? So I don't blame him because I think he's been put in a tough situation. I think Brian Anderson has to be out there and playing center field every single day, and if he's not playing out there every day, I don't think you can put him in the minors. I think you just have to have him on the bench as a defensive substitute. The reason
there's no defensive substitute. Rob Mikoviak cannot be our everyday center fielder. Scott Pacenik cannot be our everyday center fielder. For God's sakes, all you have to do, and I'm putting this out there because I'm sick of seeing suggestions of seeing Scott Pacenik in center field.
He's not
Rob Mikoviak is a better center fielder.
He is not
Scott
a center
Pacenik's
fielder.
Scott Pacenik's not even a left fielder. The guy stinks out there. He's one of the three worst everyday left fielders in baseball. Only two that are worse, Manny Ramirez and Garrett Anderson. That's it. Pacenik has a lot of speed, but because of that, we need a center fielder that can cover even more ground, especially when your team is built on pitching. That means you have to play good defense. And Brian Anderson may not get hits, but with either Scott Pacenik or Rob Mikoviak out in center fielder, I think it's safe to say Brian Anderson will save you a hit a game compared to our other options at center field, not compared to an average center field, but compared to our options at center field.
On the other side of that coin, the reason Anderson hasn't been playing is because of his offensive numbers. And I don't necessarily think it's his offensive numbers, but the guy batting in front of him, Juan Uribe. Uribe has struggled. So when you have a guy like Juan Uribe batting eighth, who's batting 200, and you have Anderson batting ninth, who's batting, what, 160? You have two guys who are batting horrendous at the back of the order. And when one of them, if both of them are bad, each of them look even worse then. Because now you're not looking at Anderson being just one, you know, one bad, you know, hitter in a nine-man lineup. You're looking at two poor hitters in a lineup, and you're saying if we could improve offensively one of those guys, that's good enough. Anderson isn't the guy to change. Uribe is, though. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I was saying Uribe needs to sit an entire series. He needs to sit one series. That hasn't happened. I do think it's at the point, though, where Juan Uribe has to sit an entire week. And I don't mean sitting on the bench, coming in, getting, you know, playing here and there. I mean sitting on the bench completely. Don't even have him swing at batting practice. Let him stay away from batting practice. He just needs to sit on the bench and not do anything for an entire week. And I'm being honest when I say this. Nothing. Let him just go, tell him to go back home for a week. Just don't play baseball for an entire week. Come back and start over again. And I think while that's happening, I think Pablo Ozuna has to be in the lineup regularly because what he's doing offensively, he's batting 400. And he's been pretty consistent all year round. I think I was looking at the numbers yesterday, and I think there's been 14 games this year where he's had one or more at-bats in a game. And in 14 of those games, I think 12 of them, he's had a hit. So he's proven when he's gotten in there and gotten 2, 3, 4 at-bats, he's getting 1, 2, 3 hits a game. And I think that's worthy of a start. Even though defensively a shortstop, he may not be as good as Juan Uribe, if you're going to have an Anderson in center field, who's a very good defensive center fielder, and you have an Ozuna in the lineup defensively, considering what the offense he's going to bring, I think it makes sense. Now, if you want to make a comment on that, you can. Also, I'm going to go to my lineup for the week.
Well, I don't have a problem. I think you can't sit a guy for a full week and not let him do anything. It's not realistic. I'm sure you feel like it's a great idea, but it's not going to work. However, I don't have a problem I think people are taking – I think you were dead on. People are taking out all their grief on the rookie Brian Anderson. They need to be taking it out on the veteran Juan Uribe, who's not hitting. The guy – I've never seen a guy so futile. And you love it when I do these. I never seen a guy. But this is a good major league player, and I know his approach has been terrible over the years. But good God, does he think he's going to get a fastball every time? Because he's just flailing at the ball, trying to pull everything.
That's why my belief is if he doesn't get his swings in, if he just kind of sits there, you know, let's forget the whole not doing anything, okay? Just keep him out of the lineup. Let him sit on the bench. Let him regroup. Because I really do think Juan Uribe is a good player, or could be a good player. I think he's shown over the last couple of years that he could be a very productive player and he could be a very good hitter at times. And I think really, even though he's always been a streaky hitter, he's never been this bad offensively. I think we could agree on that. This is the worst he's looked offensively in a Sox uniform.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. So he's always been streaky in a Sox uniform.
But even when he's bad, he was always decent. You know, he was always decent when he was a bad hitter. Now he's just been horrible. I think if you give him a few days where he just doesn't step in the field in a game, or maybe get him a pinch hit here and there, just have him sit off, have Ozuna in that starting lineup. And you know where Ozuna bats?
I put him ninth.
I'm going to go a little different because I think Anderson should be batting ninth because I think Anderson should be in the starting lineup. I would go, and you're not going to like this, and I bet a lot of people won't like this, but third. I would have Pablo Ozuna batting second.
I actually don't mind it. I don't know how Aguchi's hitting 296 because every time I watch Aguchi, it's just usually ugly at the plate, but somehow he gets some hits.
This is what I'm proposing, and this would be a different lineup. And this by the way, this is no chance of happening because Jim Thome will not be moved in a lineup. Okay, my lineup would have Scott Pacenik leaning off. It would have Pablo Ozuna batting second. It would have Aguchi batting third, Thome, and then the rest of the way. You have Pruszynski, Creedy, and Anderson batting 7th, 8th, and 9th. The reason is, first of all, I think if you have Anderson in the 9th hole and you have 300 hitters batting in front of him, which is what you would have with Creedy and Pruszynski, Creedy would probably be the best number 8 hitter in the league, I would think. You have a good back of the order, and you have three guys at the top of the order who aren't just going out there swinging hard. These are guys who are going to be making contact, they're going to be getting on base, and they all have some speed. And I think if they have a different dimension to their offense, where you have three guys at the top of the order who are going to get on base, four Thome, four Canerco, four Dye, I think that might be something, a good idea to work on, at least for a week. Because right now you have the 8-9 hitters who are batting 200. They're not getting on base, which means you have Pacenik and Aguchi, that's it. But if you could maybe get three guys in the top of the order who are getting on base and who can run the bases well, you have Tomy batting fourth, you have Canerico batting fifth, Dye batting sixth, you have a dangerous lineup for the rest, you spread out your hitters, you have your weak hitter batting ninth with good hitters around him, I think it might be something to try for 1 week.
I'm not against it, although I think we're going to lose a lot defensively, but I know Ozuna was originally a shortstop. So he's played shortstop, and I think people forget that. And he's a better shortstop than he is an outfielder. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, no, because there's Ozuna should be in the lineup, but not as an outfielder. I
don't like that 1-2-3 you have going on. I would put Ozuna 9. I'd have Creedy at 7, and then look what you have. You have Brian Anderson in between two guys that are hitting the bat, and you still have that turnaround after your first batter's up. You have Ozuna 9, Pasenik 1, Iguchi 2, in a sense, from when you go 9-1-2. And that gives you basically that same 1-2-3, but in a little different order.
I could tolerate that, because I think, you know, when a guy like Ozuna batting ninth, they're obviously not going to, you know, whenever you're batting ninth, you're going to be getting some good pitches to hit, because you're bottom of the order. They're not worrying about you. They're worrying about the top of the order. And I think Ozuna's an aggressive enough guy where he's going to take those junk pitches and hit it hard somewhere. So I could even go with that lineup. My whole thing is, maybe if you put those three guys at the top of the order, it gives the lineup a different dimension. It gives them a different look. And I think maybe that's what it needs from a consistency standpoint. You know, but I think your lineup, I think, works too.
And I think right now, with Jun Tomei out with an injured groin, and I think he's going to miss, right? He's going to still miss a couple games of the series?
Well, no, they said, as of yesterday, he's going to be playing tomorrow against the Tigers. He will be starting
the series. Oh, so he is going to be playing. Yeah, I was going to give the suggestion that Ozuna could be our DH early on, and we could start with your lineup for the first couple games where Tomei was out, because obviously Ross Gloed, and we love Ross Gloed on this show. We're Gloed's fan club here. He's still not getting it done. He hits the ball good, but he's not going to succeed without any at-bats. If he's not going to get it, I know we're carrying it because we need to have a guy that I guess that can play first base, since Jim Tomei apparently won't. I really don't see the logic in holding Gloed up here at this point in time when he's not playing at all.
No, I think we've handled a lot.
I think Ozzy's handled a lot of these roster situations this year. Pretty puzzling, to be honest with you. And I've been sitting there, and I'm not saying I could do a better job than Ozzy, because I'm not a major league manager by all means. But I can see a few things, and I realize when your team is built on pitching, you need to have a consistent defense and a defense that plays. And the Sox have not had that, and they need Anderson out there every single day in center field. And if they're not willing to do that, then they need to go find another center fielder, because we don't have one on the roster. And Ryan Sweeney, who's just starting to get some plays out there in center field, which, if you listen to the show, I proposed entering spring training. But he's not going to be ready this year to play center field defensively, just getting initial stance. So, I mean, you're going to have to go out there and look. And this brings us to our rotation and all this talk about John Garland for Aaron Rowan. And I know Mario wants to get on a topic with John Garland's no trade clause, but I want to first and foremost tell every single one of these listeners that I guarantee the Chicago White Sox and Philadelphia Phillies will not make a deal straight up John Garland for Aaron Rowan. Not going to happen. Philly loves Rowan, and Ken Williams is not going to deal pitching. Not for an outfielder. That is the least of our problems. Contrary to popular belief, Brian Anderson is not why our team has lost 7 of 10. For God's sakes, he wasn't playing in half those games.
No.
Let's not forget that. Now, if he wants to trade a starting pitcher for a reliever and throw, and I'm not talking about any reliever, I'm talking about a damn good reliever and then another reliever as well, and then throw McCarthy into the rotation, I would not be as against it.
No, you know what? No, when they acquired Vasquez, I mean, I wasn't. I mean, and really, you look back at the Mikoviak trade, you look back at the Vasquez trade. They traded the depth that they had in the bullpen. You know, as much as people hated, you know, Vizcaino and Marte, these were solid relievers who made that bullpen deep. So you look back and you maybe question those trades. But when you look at the trade for Javier Vasquez, you had five guys in rotation along with McCarthy, and you put yourself in a position where if, come July, you need a center fielder or you need a reliever, which is probably what we need more than anything, you could make that trade. So I have no problem. No problem at all trading a Garland. No problem at all trading a Vasquez. No problem at all trading a Garcia. I don't trade Burley. I don't trade Contreras. I think those two guys are pretty much untouchable right now. Even though Burley's kind of on and off, he's still an untouchable. And as far as Garland's no trade clause, if the Sox go to him and say, listen, we're going to trade you, I don't think he's going to go out there and say no. I could see him accepting it, especially if he feels that his job in the rotation is being threatened, which could very well be the case.
I think the key is, if we're going to trade Garland, he's going to want to come to a West Coast team, and he's going to want to come to a team that competes. That means Anaheim, or I guess it means the two LA teams and San Diego.
Garland for Erstead.
No. Although I think Erstead is an option if the Sox do want to look for a center fielder. And I know a lot of people aren't a fan of that move. But and I don't think the Angels are going to be sellers, because I think they figured things out. And we know how much I rip on the Angels, but this is an Angels show, and I've done a few interviews the last week.
But really, you know what? I think any trade for a center fielder, you're not going to be looking for a Griffey. You're not going to be looking for a top of the line center fielder. If you're going to be trading for a center fielder, it's got to be a decent guy, one that you can maybe trade an average minor leaguer for. You know, maybe a fringe prospect, you know, a couple of fringe prospects. I think you trade that. If you're going to trade a Garland, if you're going to trade a Vasquez or a Garcia or whoever, you have to make sure that you get bullpen help. That's the key. I don't think you make a trade trading one of your starting pitchers for a center fielder, because, like you said, Anderson isn't the problem.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say Uribe is a problem right now, because I think at least from a shortstop perspective, I think at least the Sox could hold things off for a while. I think the problem is that bullpen needs to be solved.
You want a name? I'll give you a name of a center fielder. Gary Matthews Jr. We just played against him.
That would make sense.
He's hitting pretty good right now, but even when he's not, he's a 250 hitter, and he plays good defense. And we could get him, and we could send Brian Anderson to the – because what I'm saying is, if we trade for a center fielder, it has to be the variety that plays defense. I don't really care about his offense.
And
Anderson's mediocre there.
Matthews is a decent player. And you know what? If they were to make a trade for him, that would be fine. The problem is who you're really going to give up.
Give up pitching from the minor league system.
But would the Rangers make a deal like that, considering they look at themselves being in contention?
I don't know if Gary – if they felt they could get a couple guys that could help him, I think they would consider it. And we'll see what happens
from the AAA level.
I don't know if Gary Matthews is their key player or anything, but he is playing very. I mean, if you could have traded for the Gary Matthews of last year, which was a guy that played in 131 games, had 17 home runs, knocked in 55, you know, hit .255 with a .320 on base percentage.
Yeah,
it's not a bad player.
You know, that's exactly the type of player I'm talking about. Just getting a decent center fielder, and if anything, because I think if you go out there and you put. If you dump a lot of your, you know, if you dump a lot of your trade bait into a center fielder, which you really don't need, you don't need a top of the line center fielder. Let's not do a Yankees where, you know, you got the rumor of them trying to get Griffey. You don't have to go out there and stack up your offense. Once again, the offense does have some issues. I think from an approach standpoint, I think they do have some issues, but it's an approach standpoint. It's a situation where Guillen and Walker, they have to get into the players' heads and get them to realize that, you know, that they have a horrible approach up there. I'm fumbling all over my words today. But do not go out there and get an all-star center fielder. Get a guy like Matthews, work on that bullpen. And as far as relievers out there, I don't know who's out there right now. I think that's something that, you know, more or less a wait and see.
Here's where I want to know. How many relievers does this team need? I say two. At the very least, one. And if you get one, he better be a damn good one.
He's got to be
or you can go with two solid ones, I think.
You know, and I said this before the season. This team, I think, is going to hold up for a while. I think by the trade deadline, I actually think the team will hold up. I don't think, unless they get a reliever, they don't have a chance in the playoffs. If they even make the playoffs, they don't have a chance. I say that confidently. So I think if they give this another month, see how this bullpen is. You know, I think, once again, they're going to need a reliever no matter what. But if Kotz, if Polite, if Thornton, if these guys...
There's no if with Polite. It won't happen.
It won't happen
at all.
Not
this year. But Kotz has looked pretty solid. He's still struggling on occasion, but I have no doubts Kotz will be fine. Jenks has been fine. You need to find another guy to come in there. And Thornton could be that solid guy for us.
Like I said,
I'm not doubting that.
I'm going
to
say this.
We need to find a legitimate reliever.
We're going to need at least one reliever. I think... How many, if we need any more, is going to be dependent on how the other guys outside of Jenks, and we'll say Kotz, how do they fare? I still think Polite could be a decent reliever. Now, I'm going to say this. What I've seen this year, I think he's got a long ways to go. And I think the progress he makes, at the absolute most, he becomes what Vizcaíno was last year, a decent sixth guy out of the bullpen. So I think at best, Polite could work himself into that category where he's a sixth guy out of the bullpen. But with that said, you're still going to need a third guy. You're still going to need a fourth guy. And that's all depending on how Thornton does. That all depending on how much Kotz improves.
Could Augusto Montero be that guy?
We talked about it when he first came up. I think he's got a decent fastball. I think he's got some movement. I think he's got some power. But he can't control it, and he doesn't have any pitch outside of that. So unless he has pinpoint control, which who knows? I mean, you'd be surprised how many times you see these guys come out of nowhere and for a few weeks pitch lights out. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe for some reason, for a few weeks, he's able to go out there and pitch very good and keep this bullpen afloat. And you know what? Great. And he maybe he has a fastball to do it if his control happens. But I don't think you really could have much expectations for him to do that.
Well, good, because I was just being sarcastic. Because you know I think he's a guy who has one pitch and a fastball. He's never going to succeed at the major league level with just one pitch.
I will say this, though. I think long-term, I think you're right. I think long-term, you're dead on. I think if you even go long-term into saying a full season, I think you're right. But I think, considering the Sox situation right now, considering they're still, I think, a month away from making a trade, if Montero could come up and give them 2-3 solid weeks where his control is on, you know, hey, no big deal. You know what I mean? Why not? And I think he has the capabilities to at least give a couple solid weeks in. And I think that's what the Sox need right now, especially considering the schedule that they're facing and the fact that they're facing the Tigers this week, which we got to talk about. They're facing the Indians this week. They're facing key divisional opponents. Then they're facing the Rangers, then the Reds, and the Cardinals, and the Astros. They're facing some tough teams. If Montero could at least find his rhythm and pitch his lights out and have a little fluke 2 weeks, this is a good time to have it.
Yeah, you see, this is the problem with this whole team. It started in spring training. We're expecting guys to have total fluke years. We're talking Boone Logan.
No.
We're talking now Augusto Montero. The White Sox, defending World Series champion, should not be relying on that type of guy himself as a third reliever.
It's not relying.
Don't show up as a third
when
reliever.
You rely.
And Ken Williams is going to be on the phone right now. And I guarantee you Ken Williams is working the phones now. Now, I don't know if anyone's willing to give up a good reliever yet because there's a lot of teams still in contention. But I guarantee you, Ken Williams, it's not acceptable to him to wait another month.
He knows
what's wrong with his ball club right now. And he knows he needs a reliever.
I'm not looking at this from the inside. I'm looking at it from the outside. I'm saying, they're not relying, and they shouldn't be relying for Montero, Augustin Montero, to pitch until September and be a good reliever.
We shouldn't be relying on him flat period unless we had injuries.
I'm not saying they're relying on him. You're missing the point completely.
No,
when I'm
he's
saying,
in our bullpen, what, and anyone in our bullpen will pitch in clutch situations.
You just
That's
said,
how Ozzie Guillen
you
managed.
Just said, hold on, you just said a few seconds ago that there's not one team that's going to be making a trade right now. Okay,
no,
so
said,
even... We, no, no,
it's
stop,
doubtful.
Stop. It's doubtful. Okay,
there.
It's doubtful.
You have
it's
Gonzalez,
doubtful.
The lefty,
Shh.
Over
let
Pittsburgh.
Me say something. Let me say something, okay? There's not many guys out there. So even though Kenny Williams may be working the phones, the fact is there's not many guys out there. So if there's not many guys out there, there isn't much you could do at this point. You could work the phone lines. You could try to make a trade. But if a trade doesn't happen, you can't just sit in there and be like, well, until a trade happens, we're just going to have to sit here. You have to figure out something. And you know what? If you have to hope for a 2-3 week period that someone could hold the bullpen up, that's all you have. That's all you have. And I know the problem was that Kenny Williams didn't solve this bullpen. He didn't solve this bullpen problem before the season. And we talked about it. This bullpen, it has holes. This bullpen definitely has holes. And Kenny Williams screwed up in it. But there's nothing you could do now. You could work the phone lines. But chances are there's not going to be any trade out there. So until then, you do have to hope. That's all you have. You have the hope of Augustin Montero. I've been pronouncing his name different every time. You have to hope that he at least for 2 weeks could figure it out. Just for 2 weeks. And I don't think it's horrible. I don't think it's a terrible idea. To be at the back end of the bullpen, I don't think it's a bad idea at all. It's a dumb... You don't want to be in that situation. You don't. But there's nothing you could do at this point.
If I could hope for anything, it's that our freaking starting pitchers would get consistent right now and start throwing 7 innings because it would make our bullpen look a whole
You're
lot
right.
better.
You are 100% right. And it starts with everybody. Once again, we said in... I don't even know if he said this before the show or not. Jose Contreras has been solid. He got knocked around his last start, but prior to that, he's been consistent. Everybody else in that rotation has been inconsistent. Burley's been good, but he's had his starts where he's looked bad. Even though he didn't give up any runs, he's had some bad starts. Garcia, he got lucky early on with the wins. Garland is finally starting to come around. And I think there's some positives. And Vasquez, he's been pitching like a number 5 starter. I don't think I really have any issues with Vasquez.
Vasquez has been solid.
I think he's been decent as a 5th starter. Now, considering the problems that the Sox have had in the rotation, Vasquez should be stepping up. Because I think, you know, over the course of the year. Yes, I think over the course of the year, especially with the Sox pitching staff, everybody should be stepping up. You look at last year, Garland carried the pitching staff along with Burley. You look at the second half, Contreras carried the pitching staff along with Burley. Actually, Burley and Garcia had about a month stretch where they were pitching pretty bad last year. But for the most part, last year, little by little, guys were stepping up. It hasn't really happened with the rotation this year, outside of Contreras and a few times from Burley. So,
and,
yeah,
and
it starts with this
rotation.
Part of the
problem with the rotation has been the defense, but it's kind of like everything's feeding and blowing up on each other. The defense struggles, hurts the rotation. We go to the bullpen early, and the bullpen cannot be used. I mean,
you know what?
Bad.
And I heard
and
this.
And our offense
I heard
either
this,
really blows up, or it's been pretty non-existent. It's been more like the offense of 2 years ago.
I heard
although
this.
Although we've only been shut out once.
But you know what? No, you know what? And you're right on that. Look at the first few weeks of the season. How long did it take the Sox last year to score 5 runs in an inning? It took them, I think, half
time.
The season. This year, it took them 3 games in. You look at it the other day. When they scored 9 runs, they scored 7 runs in 1 inning. That the team of 2005, they didn't do that. If they would score 9 runs, they did it over the course of 9 innings. Now, I heard this a few weeks ago. I don't know if I heard this on the message board. I don't know if I heard this from talking with somebody. I don't know. But I heard this theory, and I think it could be right. This offense is more potent. It's more powerful than it was last year. You could maybe see the from a defensive standpoint, the team thinking that, you know what, we have the capability of scoring 7-8 runs, so maybe they let up defensively. Maybe their focus isn't on defensively. Maybe their focus is on scoring 7-8 runs a game. I could see that happening. Because you always hear it, you know, not taking your bat into the field. It could be the same situation. This team last year focused on defense. They put a heavy focus on defense. Defense, defense, defense. Maybe these position players, maybe they're more focused on the offensive end this year. And maybe that's why they're not up to par defensively, even though I think they're still doing a pretty good job.
I agree, and I think it's time. We've both been riled up. We both take a breath. We hope you listeners take a breath. Let's be healthy. Live the chi or whatever the hell you call it.
And know it. We'll always go back to the positives. This team has been playing bad, and they're still in a pretty damn good position. And I will say this. Some people will say that the series coming up against the Tigers is coming at a bad time. I don't agree with that at all. I love turmoil in a season. I think whenever a team does bad, I think it's good. I think it's good for a team to struggle. I think it only makes players better, both on an individual level. You look at Brian Anderson. I think this is actually good for him in a way. I think if he could actually figure it out, this early struggles would be good for him. I think this is good for the team. Facing the Tigers right now, at this point in the season, considering how bad they've been playing, I think it's good. Because now it says, can they step up? Can they be the team that they were last year? And if they can, just think of it from a Tigers perspective. They're not playing too good right now, but they've already been swept by the White Sox. If they go into a 3-game series in Chicago, and they get swept again, or they lose 2 out of 3 against a team that's struggling, how do the Tigers now start thinking about it? We're playing good, yet we're still 1-5 against this team. And we still have, what, 13 games left? I think this week was huge. I think if the Sox could go out there and step up and beat up on the Tigers and then play the Indians and beat up on the Indians, I think they could turn things around very quickly.
Yeah, or we could really find ourselves this whole division. We could be 5 games behind Detroit and tied with Cleveland by the end of the week. It's going to be one or the other, I think. Obviously, you have a little in between.
Yeah.
But let's quickly run down the matchups because this is a key series. It's going to be we met him once. Now this is the second time we meet him. It's June 6th, 7th, and 8th at U.S. Cellular. And Tuesday night's game is Nate Robinson, 5-3 with a 3.42 ERA versus Frederico Garcia with a 7-3 record and a 4.57 ERA. On Wednesday, we face the Tigers' young ace and a potential Rookie of the Year candidate, Justin Verlander, who gets into the triple digits. He's 7-3 with a 3.13 ERA, and he'll be opposing our ace, and I say that exactly how it's meant to be said. He is our ace, Jose Contreras, with a 5-0 record and a 2.53 ERA. And then on Thursday, the veteran ace of the Detroit Tigers, lefty Kenny Rogers, will be facing matching up against John Garland. Rogers is 7-3 with a 3.54 ERA, and he'll be going against John Garland, who's 4-2 with a 6.04 ERA. But in the last month, John Garland had an ERA in the low fours. He's made progress. One negative to look at is the fact that the Chicago White Sox on Tuesday and Thursday are facing southpaws. We have struggled all season against southpaws. We haven't been able to hit them. And it's going to be interesting to see how Ozzie tinkers with the lineup or if we can get something rolling against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, and that is, you know, the Sox have had problems against left-handed pitching. You go back to the rookie they faced against the Rangers. I forgot his name. But he was a lefty, weird sounding name, I don't know, but he gave him problems. And so, yeah, I think from a matchup standpoint, I think there's the Sox, outside of that second game, because you do have Contreras on the mound, I think whenever Contreras is on the mound, I think you have a good chance of winning. And Garland is improving. But Garcia, that first game, you might have to say that the Tigers have the advantage in the first game. Unless Robertson, his numbers against the Sox, I don't know them.
I'm predicting total domination out of Freddy Garcia on Tuesday because every time I swear, and this is just me, I don't have the stats in front of me here, but I remember last year Freddy Garcia just flat out shutting down, just mowing down the Tigers on a few occasions, and I think he did that again this year, didn't he? Didn't he have a good game against him? Maybe he didn't even pitch against him. Hell if I know. But I'm expecting big things out of Freddy. He's been better as of late, although he still has not exactly been good. And I think Verlander's the type of pitcher that these bats can hit because they like fastballs. So if Verlander has trouble locating his pitches, we could have a nice day against a really good pitcher. And Kenny Rogers, he'll probably give it fits.
You know what? Garcia didn't fare too well against him this year, but he did pick up 3 wins last year, 2.61 ERA. So he definitely fared well against the Tigers last year. So that is a good sign.
And the White Sox are going to have to take a look out for Magley. Ordóñez has been playing really good. He's really emerged as their team leader, especially on offense. And the Tigers are a confident ball club. They had come back against the Yankees, even though the Yankees didn't have Rivera in. They had Cal Farnsworth pitching for the save. I think Rivera's injured. And they're a little scrappy team. They got a good offense. They have one of the best pitching stats in baseball. And I'm not saying it's going to hold up, but you can't deny the numbers. And Detroit is playing very good baseball, and they're gaining more and more confidence because the longer you do this, the more you believe you're for real.
But
the more you believe you're for real,
that's
the more
where
you can
do it. I go back to what I said before. You know, as good as the Tigers have played, they went up against two good teams over the last 7 days, and they only pulled out 2 wins. Okay, now they face the Sox, who they got swept against earlier this year. Really, when you look at the teams, the good teams, the top teams that the Tigers have faced, it's the Yankees, it's the Red Sox, it's the White Sox. And so far this year, they managed 2 wins against all of them. If the Sox go and take another 2 wins from them or sweep them again, while the Tigers will have a good record, they got to start thinking, I would think, maybe they start thinking to themselves, and maybe it won't happen because you have Leland. We face the Yankees, they beat us. We face the Red Sox, they beat us. We face the White Sox, they beat us. Can we beat good teams? Are we just going to be living off the Royals? Are we going to be just living off the Twins?
Hey, to be honest, you can do that. You can do that. If you can beat all the teams you're supposed to beat and just play semi-mediocre against the really good teams, you're just fine. And Detroit is confident. Hey, you know what? They could have folded and collapsed when we swept them last time around. Swept them in Detroit. That would have had more of an effect on them than them losing in Chicago. So I don't buy
but that
it.
That was also
Detroit.
That
could,
was,
Detroit could gain confidence and take a series against us while we're playing bad.
That was also
we could beat them. And you know what? We're supposed to beat them in Chicago.
Hold on.
We're
that,
supposed
that was
to beat
also
them.
That was also the second week into the season.
Yeah, and they were on fire. They came out and they could have folded like a house of cards. And you know what? Detroit last year would have folded like a house of cards if they had that. But they have Jim Leland, one of the best managers in all of baseball history. He's one of the all-time great managers.
I understand.
And I don't think people will argue that.
I understand.
And they're not going to fold just because they lose in Chicago. Now, if this series was in Detroit again and we took them and we beat the piss out of them. That'd be another story. But I don't even see us doing that. We're not going to clobber Detroit. They're a good ball club. I think, and this is not me going off on you. This is another. I'm frustrated about a lot of things, as you can tell by the way I've gone off on the show a few times. But I'm frustrated and sick of people saying that Detroit is a bad team. They're just waiting to collapse, and then at any time they're just going to collapse. They're a good baseball team. People need to figure it out. What were people saying about the White Sox halfway through last season? Oh, they're just going to fade. They're going to collapse. It didn't happen. Why? We had a good manager, and this team kept building, and we were a good team. We're a damn good team. Detroit is a damn good team. I don't know if they're better than the White
Hold
Sox.
On, stop,
I don't
stop,
think
stop.
They are.
This
but
is
you know
I'm
what?
Gonna,
I'm sick
stop,
of people
stop,
saying
stop,
they're
going to
fold like a
stop,
house of cards because they're not.
Stop.
They're the second best team in
this
division.
This is what I'm going to say, okay? The Tigers. What did they do in 2005?
What did they do? They completely underachieved because they had a poor manager and they quit. This
no,
is
no,
a
no.
talented
See,
team.
I don't agree with that at all. Hold on. The White Sox going into last year, they won 83 games in 2004, and they made a whole bunch of changes, a whole bunch of changes. The Detroit Tigers won 72 games in 2004. What changes did they make? They made a manager change. Okay. You know I don't care too much for managers, okay?
They went
They got
to
Kenny
one of
Rogers.
The best managers all time.
They got
they
Kenny
got
Rogers.
Kenny Rogers, a veteran ace.
But the
they
team,
had
the
of Jeremy Bonderman,
the chunk,
an ace, a
the chunk,
frontline pitcher.
The chunk,
they built no. They brought up Justin Verlander, one of the best young arms in baseball, who's 7-3 with a 3.1 ERA. Kenny Rogers brought confidence to that rotation, and all of a sudden they had guys like Nate Robinson and Mike Muroth, who's now on the DL, as a fourth and fifth option. They are a good pitching staff. Now, I don't know if their bullpen's good, but they got good arms.
I know, but
and
what
no
you're
one's
saying,
tell me that
but
this
what you're saying
isn't
is that
good. Placido Polanco,
this is what no, but you're
Hudge
telling me,
Rodriguez, no,
you're
no,
telling
no,
me,
no.
stop.
This was a good team that
stop.
Underachieved grossly last year. They got veterans in there. They got a legitimate manager.
Wow.
They had young players that meshed,
wow.
and they're a good baseball team.
Wow, wow. That's all I could say is wow. How does a team that wins 72 games? How do they jump up 20? They're on pace to win how many games?
The hell if I know. I'm not a mathematician.
how many? Let's see how many wins they have. We're a third of the way through the season, right? They have 37 wins, right? They're on pace for what? Almost what? 100 wins? So they're going to improve roughly 30 games. 30 games they're going to improve in the standing. 30 games they're going to win. 30 more games.
I didn't say they're going to win 99 games. I never said they're going
to. But that's what they're on pace. That's what they're on pace. They're on pace to win about 90 something games. What? Okay.
I think they'll win in the upper 80s.
In the upper 80s.
I said that their bullpen will be the end of them, and they will have some fades because they have some young guys that haven't thrown that many innings. But this is not a team that's just going to collapse.
I don't think they're going to collapse. I will say this, and you know you were on the show that I did with Jeff last week, and I said it then. As the Sox are falling, the Tigers are going to fall. And I think the Sox are going to fall some more, and I think the Tigers are going to fall some more. And I think the Indians, maybe even the Twins, if they can figure it out, I think they might be able to creep back into this division. I think the Tigers are going to be there to the end. I don't think they're going to hold up. Because, I once again, the Sox team last year, they had they had a pretty good team in 2004, made a whole bunch of changes, got a lot better. The Tigers had a bad team last year. No matter what you say, they had a bad team last year, made some changes, and now they're a lot better. I think they're going to fall off a little bit. I don't think they're going to collapse. I don't think they're going to collapse. I think going into the season, I thought they were probably going to win about 80 games. I still thought that we were going to finish very high, but I thought they would probably win about 80 games. Because I do think Leland is a good manager, but I don't think they're going to improve that much. I think they're going to fall off. I think the Sox have been playing average all year. I think it's catching up to them. I think the Indians and Twins will improve enough to make this a 3-4 team race.
The Cleveland Indians were the most overrated team in baseball.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Hold on, stop. Before you get into it, I agree with you completely. This offense for the last 2 years going into this year, they relied on a few weeks. Last year, they relied on the second half of the season. The year before, they relied on a few weeks. This offense isn't as good as people think, just like the Tigers' offense isn't as good as people think. But the problem with the Indians is their rotation. Their rotation got worse. That bullpen isn't great. I don't think the Indians are going to be there at the end. I still think the Sox are going to win the division. I still think that.
I still think the difference is Bobby Jenks, Todd Jones, Bob Wickman. Bobby Jenks stays healthy. We have the best closer. We have the premier closer in the American League Central, aside from Joey Nathan in Minnesota. But Minnesota has a lot of things going, and I think they're more leaning towards a rebuilding mode unless Liriano and Santana just flat out dominate and their hitting comes around.
And I think I think that's why I kind of leave out some hope for them, because I think if Liriano's pitching pretty good right now, and if he is the real deal, and we all know what Santana does in the second half.
He's unhittable.
He's unhittable. You have two guys who, you know, if Liriano pitches up to his potential, you have two good pitchers, they might be able to keep him in. Now, that said, I don't think the Indians are going to go on and get hot and win 90-something games. I don't think that. Okay, but I do think that the Sox, considering the way they're playing, considering the way their bullpen is, the Tigers, I think they're going to fall off just enough, and I think it's going to be a competitive division. I think, in the end, the Sox will win it. Although if they don't have any bullpen up, they will fall into playoffs quickly. What's that?
The Sox will win this division by 5 or more games if they stay healthy.
You know what?
Anything can happen with injuries.
I think it's fair to say that.
If we stay relatively healthy,
I think it's fair to say that.
We are the best team in this division. Detroit is a very good team, though. And if Detroit went out and upgraded their bullpen and maybe, you know, yeah, I would just say if they upgraded their bullpen, they found, let's say they acquired Brad Lidge. They have some prospects. Let's say they go out and acquire Brad Lidge.
Who are you talking about?
Detroit.
Okay.
If Detroit acquires Brad Lidge, and I realize Brad Lidge isn't the same Brad Lidge as he was a year ago, but he's got the same arm. It's just a matter of changing the scenery with him, I think. And he's still pretty damn dominant in my mind. Then all of a sudden, Detroit is right there with the White Sox. Although we have more experience in the rotation. We have more experience in the lineup. But you can't take away the fact that Pudge Rodriguez is a longtime All-Star. Magly Ordóñez, for a long time, was thought of as one of those guys who's one of those best players that nobody knows. You know, that Bobby Abreu type, so to speak. Carlos Guillen. I mean, ever since he came to Detroit, he's been a very good player. Placido Polanco is just one of those solid guys. He's like a Tadahito Iguchi, a little bit better version of Tadahito Iguchi, if you ask me. I mean, Detroit has a very solid offense, just like the Sox. And I don't think that even with Brad Lidge they'd match up quite as well as the Sox, but they don't necessarily have to if they just play a little bit better, get a little bit luckier. And part of baseball is a game of luck. And a lot of times it'll even itself out over the course of the season, but sometimes you do get lucky for a season. You know, you win a couple extra games. The White Sox maybe don't get lucky because we had a couple lucky wins last year. And we lose a couple extra games, and that could be the difference right there. Because Detroit went out and really upgraded their bullpen,
my opinion is in order for you to have luck, first of all, luck evens out. I honestly believe that. I think calls even out over the course of the season. I think it all evens out over the course of a season. Second of all, I think you make your own luck in a way, too. If you stay close enough into the game, anything can happen. So I think the ability for a team to stay close in a game, which is what the Sox were able to do last year, they were able to stay close into the games, and then things went their way. Okay. So I think there's an ability to
take advantage of it, and they create those opportunities.
Yes.
Because they don't quit. You know, there's no quit. And this White Sox team, they do a lot of things wrong, but I have not seen them quit. They still play hard. They still try to battle back when they're down late in games. It's just been a matter of nothing has came right and kind of came together. But when their offense has been really good and their pitching's been bad, they've been able to win some games doing that. They've been able to win some games when the pitching's been really good and the offense has been really bad. But if they get into just playing solid, where they're consistent, where the offense is consistently doing their thing, and I'm not saying consistently scoring 7 runs a game, that's not going to happen, but they're consistently putting up 4 to 5, 5 to 6 runs a game, you know, somewhere in between there, pretty much week in, week out, just executing. And the pitching staff is consistently pitching to their capabilities, and I'm talking about the starting rotation, and they're able to just keep guys like Cots and Jenks fresh enough that they can come in and be our horses out of that pen, then we will see a long stretch of very good winning baseball. And that's just what the Sox have to slowly get back to doing. And following this Tiger series, we talked a lot about the Tigers. This was a long show. We had a lot of anger issues, I guess. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show, because I think we got a lot of things out there that frustrate us, and maybe it frustrates you guys. Maybe you're on the other side of the picture and you think completely opposite as us, but at least now you get a little other side of it. You get another opinion out of the whole deal.
Because I hate you.
Good. I think we both hate each other after this show.
But, okay, let's go back to the Tigers, okay?
I was going to end the show.
Let's look at a Verlander. Let's look at a Justin Verlander, okay? He's pretty young. Do you think he could hold up over the course of an entire season health-wise?
Health-wise, yes, but I think the Tigers have to be very careful with him because it's pretty much just statistically proven. And there's always anomalies that if you haven't pitched that many innings, your arm can only take so many more innings. before you have
and
Austin
with,
Stuff and
but
everything else.
Here's one thing
he
with the Tigers from a rotation standpoint. Verlander, I think he's young. I think he throws very, very hard. I think that could be a setback for them. Maybe. I think it might be a setback for them. Muroth. He's on the DL right now, isn't he?
Yeah, but they have two guys, Roberto Colon, who's very highly touted, and Ramon Colon, Roberto Bartolo, same difference. And then you have Joel Zumaya, who's in their bullpen, but he could be moved to the rotation. And I'm not saying they're going to be as good as what Muroth did this year, but they're serviceable. They
no,
have
no,
that
no,
six
I know,
starter
I know.
Potential.
But my thing with them is, well, first, Colon has been knocked around a little bit this year. I mean, so who really knows about him? But I'm saying if Muroth's on the DL, if Verlander, who's young, I mean, I don't think it's unrealistic to say, you know, he could very well fall off or have some problems late in the year as his arm gets worked, okay? If you're taking Zumaya, you're putting him into the rotation, now you're losing a guy from that bullpen, right? Now you're going to have, you know, just a few guys left in that bullpen. It could shift a little bit. You know what I mean? I think when you look at the Sox rotation, I think for the most part, I think you could expect guys to stay healthy. I think Garcia, he's really never had any arm issues. Burley has never had any arm issues. Garland has never had any
arm
issues.
I'm knocking on wood.
What's that? I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe. I mean, we could go over right now. If Garland gets hurt next start, you know when he gets hurt. Okay, but I'm saying when you look at Garcia, when you look at Burley, when you look at Garland, these guys have an arm problems. I'm not sure really with Vasquez, but I think his arm has been pretty healthy for his career. The Sox have a little bit more durability in that rotation. I think you know when you're a Tiger staff and you're in the playoff race, you're gonna be throwing a lot of innings. Who knows what happens late in the season? They could wear out. They could tire out. I don't know. We'll see though. And now we can end the show.
After Detroit, we play Cleveland. It's going to be a key week. We're playing divisional foes. And if we're going to get back to what we were doing last year, which was consistently playing good baseball, it's going to start by obviously doing the little things. And the end result is going to be taken care of, especially of our divisional competition. And we did such a great job of that last year. So hopefully the White Sox can get back to business, can take care, maybe win a series here, maybe win a series against Cleveland. And just get back to doing the little things and building upon what could be a really strong week where we really improve ourselves and get confident and get back, or it could be a really, really bad week where we're all of a sudden tied with the Cleveland Indians in second or third place. So we hope you enjoy the show. Before I cancel the show out for good, I want you to check out TalkBears.com if you're a Chicago Bears fan. They just had their training camp or their voluntary workouts. They weren't involuntary anymore. And Lance Briggs and Thomas Jones actually showed up. You have the Chicago Bulls, TalkBulls.com. They are now the holders of the number 2 draft pick thanks to the New York Knicks. There's rumors of them trading Ben Gordon. There's rumors of them acquiring Kevin Garnett. If you want to know about the Chicago Bulls, anything going on, or you want to talk and give your opinion, check out TalkBulls.com. And if you are a hockey fan, we realize the Stanley Cup's almost over. The NHL draft will be coming up in a bit. You have free agency, and you want to talk about some hot stove Chicago Blackhawks stuff, check out TalkBHawks.com. And as always, the Major League Baseball draft starts tomorrow, so if you want to find out who the White Sox take, check out FutureSox.com. We're going to have updates. We're going to hopefully get some interviews with some of the White Sox players that we draft, and obviously Sox Talk will have threads, so make sure you're around. Tomorrow and Wednesday is the draft. It starts about 9 o'clock or so, Pacific time. So hopefully you enjoy us. Any feedback, shoot it to us at contact@futuresox.com. I realize Mario doesn't like the email address, but he doesn't read the emails. I do, because I'm your fan. I'm the fan of anyone that listens to me and is able to put up with this. And more importantly, anyone's willing to put up with Mario. So hopefully you enjoy the show, and we'll see you back next week.
Jace, I'm sorry for everything I said about you.
It's okay.
See you next week.